And I was like, well, no, if you're going to the media and you're using the media for publicity, then you have to accept that we will ask you afterwards, you know, what's gone on, how it's happening, and follow that from then on.
Or we're going to ask you hard questions when we do speak to you.
Exactly, you know, so yeah, accept that.
Radio Bruges News is proudly presented by Cryer Malt. With over 25 years in the field, Cryer Malt are dedicated to providing the finest brewing ingredients to help brewers create the foundations of a truly excellent beer. They are your premium brewing partner and they're proud sponsors of this.
And this is Bruges News Week, our regular wrap of all that has made news in beer this week. Sorry for the live from lockdown. I'm your host, Pete Mitchum, and making sure that I don't disturb the working from home and the homeschool crowd, we'll do the best that we can. And joining me to take a good hard look at the news, the views and the issues are the founder and editor of Australian Bruges News, Matt. Give me that trophy, Kierkegaard. And
Claire, give me that trophy back,
give back that trophy, Burnett.
All right.
Oh, I have to
I stood, I stepped all over your line.
G'day, Claire. G'day, Matt.
Hello, Pete.
Oh, Pete, for a second there, I thought you were sort of, you had a hoarse voice and you may have, had some bad...
That was a bit that I'd been working on to highlight to the folks outside of Victoria that things are very different in Victoria just at the minute.
And you're whispering because you've got two
homeschooling
room there and
students
and an office.
And, working from home, who's got a conference. So if the printer, the Bluetooth printer, which is situated right next to my Rode Podcaster 5000, happens to go off unexpectedly, first I'll shit myself because it just, like, when you're actually printing something, you then sit there and wait for it. But when somebody else, and the girls can do it from their room, you can do it from the, I can print
There's
something
no
from
warning.
The shed. It just all of a sudden just fires up. And you go, what was that?
There's no fire in the hole.
That's right. So just be aware. Yeah.
Okay.
But how's with you guys? Ooh, forget about us. How are you guys?
I don't want to make a big thing of how life goes on up here because we're very mindful of the challenges.
It nearly didn't for you, Matt. You nearly got caught.
I got it. Well, I got out a day. You know, it would have been murky if I'd stayed till the Saturday.
Yeah.
But the good news is, you know, Gabs is going to, it sounds like, Gabs managed to get their team out, you know, things. So, yeah, just very much thinking about all of our friends in...
And can I just say, you guys know how close to my heart Gabs is. Can I just say how good I feel for Mike and his crew that this time they actually dodged and the bullet missed them?
I know. They've actually been all right because they managed it with... the Gold Coast and things events, didn't they?
There Gold Coast had the Brisbane lockdown.
Yeah,
so
there was
a 30% decline.
Yeah, that,
but they
that
didn't
affected,
have it in
yeah.
Brisbane, which was very good. And then they managed to actually go ahead with it. So I hope this isn't like the future.
But just it's been one thing after another, and it was good to see that they got out of Dodge just in time.
Yeah, but anyway, we've talked a lot about Gabs. Not sort of forestalling, but there's just no real Gabs news.
No, that's right. But we do have some news, Matt. Would you like us to get into it?
How about we try and stick to the above the fold, below the fold formula this week?
Should we do that? We did go off piste last week, didn't we?
We'll see how we go.
Okay.
And now we cross live to the Australian Bruges News Media Centre for a wrap of the stories making news this week. And Claire, as I intimated in my opening, a good news story to come out of a bad news story.
Indeed. So... I'm sure everyone will have seen that Deep Creek had to hand back their Champion Large International Brewery Award at the AIBAs because they entered the wrong category. So it's not quite a La La Land situation. It was a genuine accident from them. Put litres in rather than hectolitres.
Which we've done it. I mean, it's one of the things that we expend so much mental energy, and it's such a stupid thing to say.
And you kick yourself.
Putting two zeros on, taking two zeros off in a sense. But when you're looking at beer volumes, it's an archaic measure that seems to come out of Germany and places like that. You know, America uses barrels, and it's so easy to do that it seemed unusual that the application would ask for hectolitres, and I'm sure that goes back to the days of the big breweries when, you're talking about such big sizes that you measure the volume in hectolitres, but it's not a thing that craft really deals in. So a very, very easy mistake to make. But as Michael Donaldson, who filed our story over the weekend, said, had the figure that they'd entered be right, they would be responsible for half of New Zealand's beer production or something like that. So
interesting. But fair play to them. They were quite graceful, weren't they?
Yeah, and it really does, like their response to it. And because the other thing too is that it was started by them. It was, you know, like they looked into the – because Scott and Paul, who I caught up with, I've known Hamish for quite a while, Hamish Ward, the brewer, and they're just a terrific outfit. It's very much an all-encompassing – I've never actually been there, but they're, you know, Deep Creek Brews and Eats, I think it's called. So it's very much sort of that very family-friendly, looks like a really great model. But I hadn't met the Paul and Scott until they said, oh, look, you know, we were quite surprised because we, you know, I think 2017 they won the Champion International Small Brewery. Then they had expanded capacity and then won the International Medium Brewery. So it wasn't necessarily a surprise because they have increased their capacity again, I think, but obviously not enough to put them into the large brewery category. But and look, fortunately, you know, as I, it was a lesson in how to you know, respond to a situation and come out of it. I think, you know, a lot of people know about them now, perhaps who would not have. So you know, lemons into lemonade,
that's it. They did good.
And very much the positive, you know, classy way that they handled it. You know, it was great.
Now, speaking of growing capacity, you guys up there on the Sunshine Coast seem to be growing your capacity for breweries, but is it sustainable?
Well, that's an interesting one. And we had a quick chat to Josh Donohoe, who's the founder of Sunshine Coast Craft Beer Tours. They had their fifth birthday. So it's kind of a nice reason to sort of chat to someone who's sort of ancillary to the brewing industry. But obviously, you know, the growth of breweries up there has... when you don't think about it, what you don't think is that, you know, all these other industries that grow up around a brewery when they're growing that big. And so we've had Brewhaha, we've had Your Mates, we've had Moss, all either opening or planning on opening a new site and really expanding capacity. And we sort of had a really interesting chat because we chatted about the sort of tourism and hospitality side of it. And Josh was saying, you know, that they're struggling with people's changed behaviours when booking. Everyone's doing much shorter holidays. They're doing like the weekend. It's insane. He was like, you have to book Easter now. Like, you should be doing Easter 2022 now because it's going to be insane. And he was like, you obviously prefer if people book for 5 days rather than two, but because of this uncertainty, as shown by the Victoria lockdown just recently, you know, it could happen at any moment. And I think people are really cautious, erring on the side of caution still. But he says, you know, things are looking up, and obviously because of the breweries are doing so well, that's fantastic. But that always brings the question, apparently he gets asked all the time, you know, are we going to ever reach saturation point? Like, are we ever going to be like, no, we can't sustain this number of breweries? And it was interesting because obviously they've still got room to grow there. Population growth is going through the roof. They're still very much in Queensland, but now they're looking outward. So there's potential for outward growth to other states. But I think the idea was that they will get that critical mass point. And if people want to expand rather than just staying as a small local tap room, that's when we'll start to see some issues. But he was also like, I'd love to see someone open up a new brewery on the Sunshine Coast now. I think it would be a brave move. So we'll see.
Yeah, it's an interesting one because, yeah, like you say, a crowd brings a crowd. Is it the case of everyone just has to be, you know, happy that the pie is bigger but their slice of the pie is smaller or doesn't get bigger,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, exactly.
But then again, there's nothing wrong with competition because it does keep you sharp. If you're the only game in town, and we've seen this in across many industries, that not that you get lazy, but it's just that perhaps you don't improve service because you don't see where your service needs to improve until somebody else comes along and offers, you know, something different, better, cheaper, more family friendly, you know, goes with whatever the current trend is. It'll be interesting to see. Now, the only other thing better than, I guess, adding five new breweries into an area would be to have five breweries in under one roof.
Exactly. So this was an interesting one, and we wanted to look into a little bit more about the breweries' motivations. So five breweries are signing up to a new venue in Newtown in Sydney, dubbed the Urban House of Brews. So this is still in the planning phases, but Moo Brew, Urban Alley, Western Australia Spinifex, Murray's in New South Wales, which did have a Sydney venue but is not there now. It's more regional, and Catchment Brewing in Brisbane have all signed up for this venture. So it's interesting sort of background to it, but basically they get 10 taps, their own bar, they can brand it however they want. I believe there's some contribution that they make to this project, although we haven't dug that far into it yet. Still early days, but it's interesting to see. They're going to be in this historic Hub Theatre, which is like an old vaudeville, you know, like variety type thing. And it's been empty for like 20 odd years. It looks like a massive project. So I'll be really interested to see how it goes. There's so many pitfalls to something like this. But I spoke to Moo Brew and they were like, look, to have a permanent place where we'll always have our beers on in a place like Sydney is just invaluable. Lauren Shepherd, general manager for Moo Brew, she was saying, you know, the branding, the having that like permanent place there is just so worth it. And I believe, and that was sort of echoed by Matthew Newbury at Catchment. So it'll be interesting to see, because it's also an interesting array of breweries, and that some of them are actual breweries, some of them are brewery brands, like Spinifex, who I think are getting their own brewery, and all different ages, completely different like brands and styles and everything. So it'll be interesting to see how that all comes together.
Which I guess on one hand is a positive, because you're not going to have, you know, five of the same breweries. But then the other side, the other element is it a little bit scattergun
How do they all meld?
Yeah, how do they all meld? And, you know, speaking, when I was in Melbourne, I spoke to a number of breweries, particularly in that region of Sydney, asking what they thought about it. And it is a huge venue. There have been things trying to get up there for a long time. And the point that some people made was, if you've got these five breweries, you know, on a quiet Tuesday night, for example, you know, either it's going to be heaving all the time, but there are quiet times in hospitality, you know, a Sunday night or a Monday night. Are you going to have each of those venues staffed individually, like each of the breweries staffed individually, or are you going to have one person, you know, which is going to really increase your costs on a quiet night, because they're all separate little almost bars within the bigger venue? Or are you going to have this high hospitality, you know, service charge, because you've got people that are there to run the bars individually? And you know, there was a whole lot of interesting perspectives about it. I can see the reason why some of them see it as an easy way to get into the Sydney market, without having to compete for tap contracts and turnover and those sorts of things. But then there's also the question, Catchment in Brisbane, very small little brewery. I think it's, you know, 300 or 400 litre brew house.
What's that in hectolitres, mate?
3 hectolitres, I think, mate. sorry, carry the one. Given that they're barely in bottle shops across Brisbane, why are they looking at a presence in Sydney? You know, when they're a small little brew pub, I know that they've looked at expanding and things. So anyway, yeah, it's a very, very interesting. It's one of those ones that there's just that part of you that says, I don't know that this is going to work. Mm-hmm. But then you never know, because it's all about execution.
I'd love to see it. I'd like to sort of see it once a bit more detail comes out, to sort of see it on paper. Because is it a brew pub? So will there be brewing
on
site?
So it's just bars.
It's just bars. Yeah.
I get the feeling that
separate bars on different levels or different areas.
If
or?
You look at the map, they're all adjoining.
Yeah, so. Yeah, like next to each other. And then there's like a mezzanine level with a cocktail bar.
So like a little bit like Welcome to Brunswick or Welcome to Bowen Hills.
But in an old theatre, very much like that. Yeah, but in an old theatre. So it's, you know.
We'll see.
But
yeah,
it's also
I wonder
a part
if they're
of
riffing off that concept.
It's also a part of Sydney's inner west that is very, very heavily served by craft breweries already. Mm. And you sort of think, well, is there, you know, as I've said on the podcast before, one of the things that I think is the attraction of breweries these days is that they're not big amorphous pubs. You know, when you go to a brewery, they have their own little communities. You know that this is a place that something is made on site. And that's part of the attraction as much as the beer.
Mm. There's also, you touch on an interesting thing there, Matt, that's just made me think breweries also have their own kind of personality. So how do you get five personalities that might all be, do you either homogenize it or which then takes away maybe, you know, some of that essence of what makes them, you know, what makes Urban Alley, Urban Alley, what makes Moo Brew, Moo Brew, like even those two. Alone, a very different kind of, I guess, branding.
And my jury is very much out on that. Like, is it we've just gone with whoever we could get?
Yeah, or is it curated specifically?
Is that what they were going
again,
for?
Again, in that area,
different brands.
It's an interesting place to do it, isn't it?
Yeah, but you know, it's interesting fact versus reality. The media release said, you know, everyone that we approached, you know, wanted, we had to cull the list of down to the five that we selected. And then I spoke to a number of breweries who were approached and said, no, we didn't want to touch it with a barge pole. So, you know, the organizer is going to be spinning it the way that he says.
Yeah, of course.
And, you know,
and you want it to succeed.
And you want it to succeed. But were these five breweries selected because they were the best of a big group that applied? Or were they selected because they were the Stephen Bradburys who were, you know.
I mean, to be fair to Moo Brew, I don't think there's that many other breweries in Tasmania that'd be able to.
Well, and that was the thing. And, you know, Moo Brew undoubtedly gives it credibility because they are, you know, a very well-financed, you know, smart brand. And
they are very focused on that brand and that sort of. Just that kind of culture and everything. So I feel like they'd have thought into it.
Yep.
So, well, yeah.
And look, it may be that they're specifically aiming at something, at a market that is not already served by people who, you know, go to Batch on a Sunday afternoon or pop down to Filter or then walk up to Grifter or, you know, Young Henry's or whatever it might be. So maybe they're looking at aiming at, you know, taking away from, rather than the small breweries around there, you know, perhaps the bigger soulless pubs. It'd be interesting to see. Interesting you mentioned Stephen Bradbury there, Matt, because Last Man Standing is a brand up your way, I think, isn't it? That's
absolutely. Yeah, yeah. No, in fact, do you remember a couple of years ago at the – actually, we might whack this in below the fold because it's not actually a news item.
Okay. No, but it was just a nice segue into, because it just occurred to me that, you know, he was a winner and ABAC would probably look at that and say, oh, I don't know if we can promote, you know, beer and winning. But ABAC recommends, Claire, some complaint time limitations.
Indeed. So they've actually – this is an interesting one. So there's absolutely loads of adjudication decisions from ABAC. So I just rounded them up quickly. They cover some usual stuff like having age restrictions for the people that are in your ads and then the associations with alcohol and like high-risk activities where you need to be alert or have high levels of coordination or whatever. But one interesting point was that a panel had clearly got sick to death of doing of judging on social media posts from like 6 years ago. So they judged a five-year-old post from the Smiling Samoyed Brewery. And they were really quite scathing about having to do these. They were like, there's little public benefit to judging these posts. They recommended that they put time limits on these sort of things so that whoever is trawling through brewery social media for sometimes decades, like I think we had one from about Pirate Life from 9 years ago, and that was last year, and we were all like, "What? How on earth did anybody even find that?" And that's exactly what ABAC said, you know, the chances of the public finding these are so slim that, and normal people wouldn't go through that kind of like in that kind of tooth comb detail. They were like, we need to stop doing this effectively. So hopefully, fingers crossed, they've recommended it, this adjudication panel's recommended that they actually put time limits on it. So I don't know what it'll be, whether it'll be 12 months or 2 years or 5 years or whatever, but hopefully we won't be seeing any more of these ridiculous posts from ages ago. And that was really my takeaway from all that. So yeah, hopefully we'll see that.
But look, and well done to them. As I say, it's possibly just a gentle backhander to just sort of say to any coordinated, organised groups who might be
Pete, these are concerned members of the public.
What are you talking
who
about?
Are troubled, who are troubled by the amount of alcohol advertising that there is.
And have really good knowledge of the ABAC code.
And have other things going on in their lives and just happen to stumble on a post from 6 years ago because they were really into the brand and then troubled by that brand's very irresponsible use of social media to promote alcohol.
Exactly. But look, the one thing that I do love about it is that it always gives us a great opportunity to talk about labelling and to mention people like our very good friends at Relling's Labels, Stickers and Packaging, Matt and Claire. Did you know that they're not able to just supply labels for your cans or bottles, but they can also supply printed or blank cartons? They do can trays, tap decals, barcodes, shrink sleeves, already applied to empty beer cans just ready for filling, because the guys, they're probably sick of, you're probably sick of hearing it, but, you know, everyone keeps saying to them, well, not people who listen to this, because they know that don't ask where the brewery would buy a shrink sleeving machine and where would you put it and how do you apply the sleeves to the cans. You don't have to worry about that. The cans come to your door pelletized and ready to fill. Nothing more to do. So give the guys a call on 1300 852 235 to discuss further. In some more good news, Colonial Brewing Co. has signed with North Melbourne.
Indeed. So a few months ago, I believe it was in March, we wrote up that Colonial had lost the deal with Essendon, who'd signed with CUB, and obviously it was a bit sad. And they were, I think I spoke to Jenna Godley at the time, the marketing manager at Colonial, and she was like, yeah, we're really disappointed, but, you know, these things happen. It's sports partnerships, you know, they are like that. They're pretty cutthroat. And now they found a new one. So, yeah, North Melbourne official beer and cider partner is Colonial Brewing Co., which is fantastic, which we really like to see. And, you know, we covered it back then. We've seen a lot of these people going for basketball teams or local teams or whatever. And just the tie-up is just fantastic. It's good branding exercise. And, yeah, well done to them. Good on you.
And let's hope that some of the Colonial magic rubs off on North, who, without putting too fine a point on it for those outside of the AFL states, are playing like a hat full of busted arseholes just at the moment and can't buy a win. Although they did beat my Hawks, so how about a wee travel?
Oh, well, there we go.
But no, it is great. And because the other thing too is I think, so the if memory serves, when we covered it, the Colonial deal with Essendon was for branding at Marvel Stadium, not necessarily like on the Essendon jumper or anything like that.
No.
Yeah. Whereas this one, I think, is a
full shebang. It seems. Or
yeah, because North also their home ground is Marvel mm-hmm. Stadium as well.
Oh, okay.
The Docklands Stadium, I think. So,
oh, cool.
It'll be an interesting one to see whether it's the same thing over or whether they've gone a different way. And it'll be interesting too to see whether or not, you know, the big house looks at this and says, okay, well, maybe we need to snip them up, because presumably that's what happened.
It's kind of whack-a-mole
last time. It is. Yeah. Hey, there's another one popped up. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, now speaking of good deals, how's $150 million sound?
Pretty tasty.
Well, first of all, Claire can tell the story, and then Pete can try and tell me where that $150 million figure comes from, because no one else can.
Actually, and it's a little double whammy on this one. So, yeah, Stone and Wood owner Fermentum, they're wanting to raise up to $150 million to build their new brewery. We covered that a while ago. They mentioned it in January when they bought Two Birds. So yeah, they've brought in KPMG, for those who don't know, big four accountancy firm, to spearhead talks with some potential funders, and this is what they're looking for, $150 million. And then Brick Lane is also in the running for a little bit of a fundraise.
Yeah, well, Brick Lane, yeah, again, like the two, I mean, Stone and Wood is clearly bigger than Brick Lane for now, but it's going to be a bit of a race. But yes, so Stone and Wood building a new production brewery just up the road from their existing brewery, and have flagged for some time that they were looking at some capital for that. I'll have a story that will probably be up, including some quotes from Ross Jurisic, who I spoke to just about it, because the $150 million figure seemed quite interesting, because when you look at their past figures and their past documents, they do have an employee share program. And I think as part of that, you know, they have to value the business, so they know what the shares are worth, and you know, so that there are figures available for that. And I think they valued the business internally at around about $170 million. So if they're raising $150 million, that's a significant percentage of the what they appraise the value of the business. And the interesting thing was that if they are going to take external investment money as part of this, as opposed to going to their existing bankers or existing, shareholders.
Yep.
The point that Ross made is that when you do that, you know, say your business is worth $100, you need to sell the shares to your new investors at, you know, $90 to $95. They're not his figures, they're mine, just to, for clarity, because you need to give them some room for growth, you know, for return on their investment if they sell. Because if you sell at, you know, at 100% on the dollar, then the business needs to grow for them to get a return, which puts pressure on that, was my understanding of what he was saying, which is interesting because it's the complete opposite of what equity crowdfunders do, where they go, well, our business is worth $10, but we're going to tell our most loyal customers it's worth $50 and then give them
$8 worth of...
It just shows how realistic equity crowdfunding valuations are. It's a different, you know, it is a different mechanism, but I reckon that Stone & Wood should equity crowdfund now, because I reckon based on those figures, you know, they could be asking $1 billion for the valuation.
And can I just ask, who supplied this quote? Street talk can reveal Fermentum has tapped KPMG's team in Melbourne to spearhead talks with potential funders and ask them for as much as $150 million for a schooner-sized stake in the business.
I promise that was not us. That was the AFR.
But it's their gossip column, which is interesting that the most august, expensive finance publication in the country still has that sort of stuff, because
they love that stuff. So the finance markets, the law, they run on that kind of bullshitty gossip.
But that's what I'm trying to work out, whether a schooner size...
I don't think they know what they mean by
$150 million for a schooner.
Although in the finance market, that's not a lot, really. They deal with much bigger numbers than that on a regular basis.
Wouldn't you go with a hog's head?
Million.
Or a firkin or something at least. That's a firkin big.
Well, no,
in the
but that's where I think they were saying, you know, a schooner. So it was $150 million for a small, like not even a pint, small slice of it. I'm going, well, no, $150 million.
It was the whole shebang nearly.
I'm trying to think of, because Little Creatures sold, I mean, Little Creatures was smaller.
612.
Than million?
Yeah.
Are you sure about that? No, I had 280 in my mind.
Or 216.
Yeah.
Was it 2016 they sold?
2016, anyway. And it was a smaller volume, but that was for full control, because I always remember that when Coopers was being valued, Coopers did the same thing. You know, they have to do share buybacks for their, because it's a lot of the shares have been handed down in wills. They need to give a mechanism for shareholders to... buy out, you know, or cash out, and so they have to do these internal valuations, and that was the whole basis of the Lion dispute 15 years ago, was that some shareholders felt that they'd been lowballed. But the argument was, well, no, because if there is much more value involved in complete ownership of a business than there is in just getting some small non-controlling share back, and that, yeah. So it's all very, very interesting. But it's, again, it's great to see that, you know, Bricklane and Stone & Wood are reaching the size that, you know, independent craft beer makers are, you know, hitting the mainstream financial media.
But also great, Matt, that 10 years ago we used to lament the fact that you couldn't buy a headline or a story in mainstream media about anything even vaguely resembling craft. It wasn't really until maybe Gabs started to become big that all of a sudden, you know, people wanted comment on, you know, oh, these Gabs beers. And then, you know, we still can't get it for Good Beer Week necessarily. You know, there's snippets here and there. Mm-hmm. But this is great to see that, you know, at least we're getting not only mainstream media, but we're getting the mainstream media gossip column. So
it's not going to do financial thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not going to do Stone & Wood's street cred any good with the people who go, you know,
oh, they've got mainstream craft.
But anyway,
I'm sure they won't give a hoot if they get $150 million.
No, exactly. Care much not. More beer for us all. Yeah. But, you know. Anyway, that's about it for the news. unless there's any breaking news.
No.
Nothing's come through.
Nope.
Just been monitoring the the Facebook page and that sort of thing. There's nothing. And well done again to everyone for letting us know about the various stories and bits and pieces that are popping up.
That's great.
So thanks very much to Cry Malt, to Relling's Label Stickers and Packaging. But now it's time for Below the Fold. And we start off with Mailbag. Thanks to our very good friends at New Zealand Ale Trail. Head to www.nzaletrail.com or at nzaletrail on social media to find the best experiences in New Zealand that are beer related.
And unless you're in Melbourne, but start planning your holiday because you're going to need one once all of this is over.
And it's going to come up in Below the Fold, but I'm just saying, New Zealand Ale Trail, don't forget the lagers, all right? I'm just saying. Because I tell you what, some of the best pilsners I've had come out of New Zealand. And if you like that New World kind of hop character in the pilsner, get amongst it. Beer from Garage Project is absolute cracker, which I think is a Bohemian pilsner malt and single hop.
I remember having that in the tank with you at the brewery.
How good was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, geez, that's ages ago, wasn't it? That was Beervana.
It was.
Where we met John Hull.
It was. Speaking of which, yeah, I interviewed John. Just a new idea we've got, just not for a new podcast as such, but 3 times a year I'm going to speak to John Hull and 3 times a year I'm going to speak to Pete Brown just for an over-the-horizon look at the trends and the things that are happening in those two. You know, they're two of the leading beer writers and commentators and... So I interviewed John yesterday for the first episode of that, and great chat. Listen out for it, some very interesting things. But then his podcasts have just started getting merch as well. So he showed me his their shirt says Defend Pilsner, which was very nice. So I've put in an order for a shirt for you, Pete, and I might see if I can wangle one. It's always hard because everyone takes a different size, but we'll get a shirt that we can give away to whatever size comes. And he liked our shirt, so I'm sending him a couple of our ingredients technique, ingredients technique and skill or something.
Mm-hmm. Good brewer.
Good brewer.
Good ingredients.
Good technique.
Yep. That's it.
He liked that. And then also great that one of our shirts landed in France.
That was amazing.
which was very, very cool.
Was that Josh?
It was Josh. Yeah, so Josh posted the photo because I'd sent it to his brother who sent it on to him, and he was wearing it. And apparently he went to I don't think I've told you guys this because it was a private message. It wasn't on the Facebook group.
Oh, yeah.
So he was wearing it at a French beer festival because he's become the G'day Josh, who I know is listening to this. He said that he's become the ambassador for French beer festivals
just beer in his general. Neck of it.
And everyone was loving the shirt and asking if they could, if there was any objections, if they translated it into French.
Oh, brilliant.
And of course, like, you know.
Would it be Le Hype? Well, like bon ingredient or bon technique or hype.
Seriously, we don't even cover the cost of printing the shirts because we give so many away. But so, yeah, it's no skin off our nose if, hopefully they'll credit us somehow.
We'll be changing your tune if we start rolling in the money because of him. wish you'd trademarked it then, wouldn't you?
News de Brasseurs.
Yeah,
the news of brews.
So that was very cool. But so the shirts are, if you don't want to become one of our producers and pay like a monthly $5 or $10 for all of the joy and value you get from this podcast, or if you're a brewery and you don't want to come on as a paid subscriber, you can buy a t-shirt. Cover the cost of printing them and just give us a little bit of a cred when you wander around in your shirt at your next beer festival.
Exactly. Don't forget also to review us on iTunes or send us in an email and you can be in the draw for the letter of the week. And you can also join our Facebook group. Just search Radio Brews News and use the password Soapbox, as many people have done. And I did notice, kept popping up in my on my notifications, that a lot of people have requested to join the group. So I don't know how we've all of a sudden, we just seem to have those little bursts where we get
somebody will post in, there was this interesting discussion on this other Facebook group, Radio Brews News, and then they posted another Facebook group. Because some people obviously know the podcast, or some people, one person, because we ask for the code word, which is soapbox. But it's just more to get an idea of whether people are coming from the podcast or they're coming from...
Yeah, are they listening to us and then wanting to join the conversation?
And there's obviously spammers that we, you know, anyone who signed up to Facebook in, you know, June 2021 probably isn't bona fide. So, it's just a way to block them out. Then you get people going, I don't know what it is, ask Claire. So they obviously listen to the podcast.
Or people just use, I don't know, is it Boom?
They haven't heard Boom. That it's Soapbox. But people obviously listen to the podcast, know the personalities. And just remember, the conversations are, you know, they're nice conversations about beer and sharing and knowledge sharing, because we don't want to get get zucked the way that some of the looser groups.
And also, Matt, just on a personal thing, if I don't know if there are any more out there listening, but if you are a Russian single model, I've enough friend requests now. I've collected the full set, so you don't need to send
There are
more.
A lot of those. Yeah, I didn't want to sort of go into specifics. But
I've never noticed. Do you lot sweep them before I get to them? Is that what happens?
Well, we do get some on, yeah.
They pop up from time to time. Another one who pops up from time to time is Ryan Lumby in the Facebook group, who Claire talked about the Beer Cartel crowdfunding.
Interesting. So we've obviously spotted it, and people have posted it in the Facebook group, so thank you for that. But Ryan says, all crowdfunding is the same, so I'm not trying to have a go at Beer Cartel. But much to Matt's point on a recent episode, there's no details on perks, how much they want to raise, or even what they intend to do with the money until after the expression of interest period, it seems. Correct.
Which, again, that's how these things work. So they've opened, they're telling people that they're going to crowdfund, and if you look at any of the message, you can express your interest. And part of the expression of interest is, how much do you think you're likely to invest in this thing? And so if you put $250 and there's 100 people all putting $250, then they'll go, well, we're likely to, I think that's 25 hectolitres. I think that's what, $25,000 or $250,000. Then that's what they set as their minimum, because their people are almost pre-committed to it. And then they build hype on the day it opens that they hope that they, you know, zoom past that minimum expenditure. So it looks like this is the most oversubscribed thing. Geez, I'd better get in, otherwise I'm going to miss out, so they can sail on to the big target. And, you know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. It's interesting that we haven't received a media release.
Yes, that was very... I
don't think we've got it. No one else has either, because, you know, if there's a media release, Beer and Brewer would have written about it. Crafty, I haven't seen it on Crafty, so maybe they're just relying on their social media.
Yeah, potentially, not necessarily media, because that's the point. And I know that I think it was Matt at Birchall, but don't quote me on that. It was a long while ago, but we did a equity crowdfund. We did a story on it. I think it was just a small brewer, and it ended up not going ahead, or it didn't get the target that they wanted, and they just wouldn't talk to me. They wouldn't talk to me for like, and they were happy to have a story about it, and they wanted
when
us
they
to
were in
yeah,
their opening
yeah.
Phase. Everyone, that's the thing. Everyone wallpapers the media with media
Isn't
releases
this amazing?
When they're opening
like,
it,
yeah, yeah.
But then
used
when
to promote,
it failed, they don't want to talk about.
I ended up talking to them in the end, but I think I ended up talking to the platform. So I'm thinking it wasn't Birchall now. But anyway, and I was like, well, no, if you're going to the media and you're using the media for publicity, then you have to accept that we will ask you afterwards, you know, what's gone on, how it's happening, and follow that from then on.
Or we're going to ask you hard questions when we do speak to you.
Exactly, accept that.
I think too that, you know, we've proven, we've got runs on the board in terms of not holding a torch to, you know, to people's feet, but in terms of, we are respected as a voice in the industry. So there are people out there listening and go, well, if Pete and Matt and Claire, you know, pump this up, then maybe I, you know, that's good enough recommendation for me. So we need to know that if something is worth doing, that we need to be able to, you know, prove why. Yeah. And part of that is sometimes putting the hard word to get the detail. And the detail might be, look, we haven't actually got that far yet, or you know, until we reach this amount, we're not going to release anything. That's fine. We can then tell you guys that, and you can make decisions based on that. But it is important when you're asking people, particularly in, you know, these times of interesting discretionary spending, that, you know, people want to make informed decisions. So
crowdfunding is a perfectly legitimate way of doing it. I cavil a little bit when, you know, when it's pumped, you know, with hype and sold as an investment, when clearly, yeah, like an investment is something you expect to generate a return from. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just as Batch, for example, you know, they'd clearly had an internal buyout of one investor buying other investors out, which to me gave a much truer valuation of the business than the equity crowdfunding valuations. And they were very reluctant to talk about that in the context of their equity crowdfunding. So that's when I get troubled, when it's sold as an investment as opposed to a loyalty scheme, mm-hmm, that lets you, you know, gives you that emotional investment because it's talked about as a financial investment. In terms of online retail, Beer Cartel are very good operators. You know, they really impress me the way that they've gone about their business. They're very smart. They've got a very good reputation. They, you know, invest very heavily in the industry and contributing to it. So it's no criticism of them. And we don't know what valuation they're putting on it. Mm-hmm. I just think that, you know, it'll be interesting to see how they do value it, because they're talking about, I think, $4 million revenues or something from the business, their 25% growth. It'll be interesting to see how they value that then, and whether they use, as a retailer and an online retailer, whether they use some of the brewery valuations as their metric. Because if you've got a brewery that can make, that is currently making 500,000 litres, but your brewery has a capacity to make 2 million litres, then you can scale up that production, you know, essentially with you know, yeah, relatively cheaply.
Yeah.
So to sell $4 million of revenue, to move to $5 million worth of revenue, yes, you can lower some of your costs, but your product is still the biggest part of your outlaying. So it's going to be much more traditional revenue model, I would have thought, yeah, much more retail-based valuations. So, yeah, look, we'll wait and see. But, again, great business. If you buy a lot of beer through Beer Cartel and you get a substantial discount, like if you're getting a 15, 20% discount on your purchases and you are, you're buying, you know, $1,000 worth of beer from them a year, which a lot of people clearly are, then that's, you know, there's a lot of reasons to be involved in it.
Exactly. And this is one of the reasons I love listening to this podcast. Mm. I don't know about you guys, but I do. Just the ones.
I was there.
Ben Sykes on the Facebook page, a brewery to be located in an Abbotsford office space. I didn't hear about this one.
So this was actually a sponsored post.
Should we have discussed it in news? Because it's sponsored, sure, so it's paid, but it's still an interesting development. So
I mean, you know what I'm like. I'm terrible with sponsored posts.
So am I.
Anyway, well, let's go for it. So there's a property development company called Banco Group, and they want a brewery. They want a brewery in their new development, which is called The Office Project in Abbotsford in Melbourne. So they've asked us to basically post this article and see if there are any brewers. There's like an expressions of interest phase, and you sort of tell them about your brand and what you do with the space and all that kind of stuff. And so they asked us to put it on the site, and we got paid for that. And this is why we're really bad at putting it in the news, but it is news. So it's a really interesting one. We've done this for a few development companies before, actually, and it's really interesting from a wider perspective in that these development companies are massive. This is like a drop in the ocean to them, but the fact is that they're very keen on getting a brewery in to these mixed-use developments. You know, their retail, their office, their residential, there's a bit of everything. And I think it's really interesting and kind of meaningful that they would put themselves out there and say, yeah, let's have a brewery in there. And says a lot of things about what the wider world thinks about brewing as well.
It says two things about the world. One, that it's very attractive and that it's part of the street amenity and things like that. And secondly, having spoken to some operators, they have absolutely no idea about the profit margins involved in beer. And they just think, oh, geez, there are so many breweries. They must all be making money.
Look shiny and new.
We'll just show it in there. Yeah. And then it, you know,
see how it goes.
Or are they looking at, as a developer, would you be looking at something that will attract people that then benefits the other businesses and gives value to the, I don't know, you know, other people? Although if it's office space,
I'm trying to think of what the equivalent would have been, you know, for resident, you know, for development in the 90s, or, you know, it would have been Cold Rock Ice Creameries would have been seen as an anchor tenant, or, you know, whatever's flavour of the month.
Yeah.
They think that if we can provide this cool urban landscape and amenity, people are going to flood to us. It gives us a point of difference. Yeah. And craft beers are one of the things that are popping up everywhere. But that's also one of the great risks for unsophisticated, you know, people who go, oh, this is great, you know, and you look at, you know, there's a great podcast, Build Me a Brewery, and a lot of discussions there, and very active discussions from people who are planning breweries, and I know a lot of them listen to our podcast. But, and I don't want to come across as rude, but there are some of the conversations are a little bit naive and seem predicated on every brewery that you see existing and expanding is doing so because they're making money, and that's just simply not true. And it's one of the dirty secrets about the industry. No one talks about the problems that they're having. Everyone wants to put a bit of rosy on everything. Yeah. And that's what, so yeah, so not talking this down, I don't know about the development, but really ask hard questions before you look at going into a development like this.
Yeah.
And that leads us very nicely onto the comment, which was, so Ben Sykes on the Facebook page says, as a result of this, I think we just hit peak craft. Have we all gone mainstream though? Does this mean we've gone mainstream, like, well, officially as an industry? Because now a big shiny developer who had never.
There's another fairly large brewery that already exists in Abbotsford, and I wonder if maybe they would look.
You're not talking about Moondog by any chance, are you?
And not talking about Moondog.
No, what? There's a bigger brewery than Moondog in Abbotsford.
Yeah, and it's not Mountain Goat, which is just the other side of Abbotsford, different side of the street, but in that precinct. I just wonder whether, yeah, maybe the big house looks at something like that and says, oh, actually, we could do something, you know, that's a bit more customer-facing.
Now, Pete, which Melbourne brewery, and for some reason I think it's Three Ravens, started when a couple of engineers in Thornbury...
the local stopped, took out the hand pump.
Took out the hand pump, so they started couldn't get... brewery. Is that Three Ravens?
Yeah, Three Ravens, yep. And still on the same site.
Still on the same site. Great.
It's expanded a bit.
But at one stage they tried to have a co-working space.
They did for a little while.
If you look on the in the Brews News archives, there'll be a co-working space story with Three Ravens. So yeah, look, it happens. And you know, maybe it works. I don't actually know that this is the sign of peak craft. I think the sign of this of peak craft is that there are so many breweries still planning to open. There are so many breweries, you know, on the Sunshine Coast, to go back to the news. All of the breweries that are expanding on the Sunshine Coast are building their production venues. And, you know, even then, production venue is used very loosely because they're very small production venues, in the scale of production venues. But then you've also got Stone and Wood looking at building a $50 million brewery. You've got Brick Lane producing a $50 million. To me, if I was a little brewery, those are the two expansions that I'd be looking at, because we're not seeing more pubs opening. You know, we're not seeing more taps. We're not seeing more.
We're not seeing more 18-year-olds being born who can legally drink.
Who can legally?
In fact, fewer these days.
There aren't more taps coming on stream, and a lot of the taps that are at competing craft brewery venues. You know, Stone. You'll look at Stone and Woods reach the size where Little Creatures has now brought out a Pacific Ale. Coopers has got a Pacific Ale. You know, when you get to a certain size, you become the target. You know, so Stone and Wood are growing. The original Stone and Wood is their big brand, but they've got a target on their back where it's going to be hard. And I think a lot of the small breweries risk getting caught in that space.
Yeah. If you want to stand out from the crowd, I would recommend that you brew a Pilsner. And Michael Morgan in the Facebook group sent one aimed at me slightly.
Yes.
Read the Rattan Hood.
Right. Definitely.
What have you done to me, Prof? Yeah. I don't know what to do. It's my only one. So this was a picture that he posted, Michael Morgan from Blaster Brewing, who I got to meet in real life at the awards, and we had a Pilsner together with Paul Bowker from Brick Lane. So there you go, nice little tie-in. But he posted a picture of his last can. I don't know what to do. It's my only one. So do I drink it and enjoy it, brackets, with a shit-eating grin, or save it or drink it.
And drink it.
He doesn't know. Have to say, I was more than lucky to enjoy one from the bar at the ARBA's last week, so I might let this sit a couple more days.
See, only a few more days.
He's going to lager it for a little bit longer.
Yeah.
I think you've got to, I don't know. I'm torn. I've got one in my fridge. I've got to admit it's my last one, and
it's
I don't know.
Very destiny
if I keep it and never open it.
I never save any.
Does it never go away? Like, is it always there if I don't open it? Will that always exist?
Ooh.
I don't know what to do.
Oh. Torn.
Go on, Freddie, drink it.
Yeah, drink it.
I think that's the way to go. Anyway, that leads us, with whatever time we've got left, into Below the Fold. So thank you very much.
That was Below the Fold.
Oh, was it?
Well, yeah. it was mailbag. Okay, I thought we had another Below the Fold folded in.
Because I was going to say thanks to New Zealand Ale Trail for sponsoring the mailbag part of it. If you'd like to sponsor the Below the Fold part, it just gets it'll just get lost. You'll just be throwing good money after bad. Seriously. Apparently, it's not a thing anymore.
We can't. In all conscience, fit any more sponsors in without taking away. You know, like we barely talk about Cry Malt, who are, you know, absolute. You know, we sort of say, you know, thanks to Cry Malt.
From the beginning.
Yeah. And have been from the beginning. And so Cry Malt. Yeah, we don't need any more sponsors. But thank you to Cry Malt for making this possible. For being the coat hanger that all of the other...
There could be room for a partner, though. So if you don't want to sponsor us, but perhaps you want to look at some kind of financial partnership. Below the Fold. Okay. Just saying, it could be a good opportunity for you. For my Below the Fold, I'm just going to say, and I don't want to jinx it, but I've booked a family holiday to the Sunshine Coast, first week of school holidays. Oof. So I know I've just jinxed it now because, speaking of shit-eating grins, some peanut and bureaucrat's going to say, no, you can't go. Well, I will. Regardless, even if I have to drive to Albury, swim across the Murray, then walk,
I'm impressed
and swim across
dedication.
The Tweed. I'll get there. Yeah. We'll get there. So, yeah, I'm going to try to get to as many breweries as I can, particularly the ones I haven't been to yet. So shout out to Matt and Shazza at Moffat Beach. I'm planning to get down there somehow. We'll work it out. But, yeah, that's my plan, first week of the school holidays.
When are the school holidays?
June sometime?
Two weeks.
Oh.
18th, I think, or something like that. 15th, 18th, something like that.
Oh. Here's fingers crossed for you, Pete.
Yeah. So is that it? That's our episode done?
I guess so. There's no screaming issues that I wanted to...
You're still looking forward to it because we teased it last week. You did a beer's conversation, which I haven't caught up with yet, but with the dollar bill...
That went up on Tuesday night. Great chat. Had some really good feedback. You know, again, it was a great chat because they were so honest about it. You know,
they're very genuine people.
Very genuine people, but how small they are. You know, and you know, Ed's still got his day job. Fiona's raising the kids, and they're working a full time, and they're coming off the high of winning the most august trophy for beer in the country. And there was still that note of, you know, exhaustion in their voice and things like that. They're making 14,000 litres a year, I think.
It takes them
2 years. No, you know, I think that's 12 hectolitres. What is it, 140 hectolitres? It sounds even smaller then.
And don't forget, too, this is coming off the back of they are the current reigning Indies champion beer. Although we had an Indies, didn't we? So theirs was 2019. We did have an online Indies kind of 2020.
Yep. And just really lovely, lovely people who, you know, their enthusiasm and it's everything you want to celebrate about the craft side of the industry. But it's hard going. Like you it's a commitment. Like you're really wanting to do what they're doing. And so all has to go listen to the podcast and listen to look out for next week's where Claire?
I do, yes. So we sort of teased it last week and then we had to double up, didn't we, because the dollar bill one came this week. Discussion with Kylie from the IBA, Tiff Waldron from Pink Boots Australia, and Sabrina from, she's exec director at the Brewers Guild of New Zealand. And that was obviously about the sexism in the industry sort of issue happening. It's prompted by Brienne Allen's Instagram posts over in the US. So we sort of talked about, you know, in the Australian context, how is that relevant? What do we do about it? All that kind of stuff. And we managed to keep it. There's so many different ways we could have done. We could have talked about diversity, inclusion, how to get more people from these different backgrounds in your brewery and things like that. There's so many ways we could have done it. Even making tap rooms more amenable to lots of different types, not just you know, your bearded white man. So we went around the houses, but I think we managed to have a good little chat, and it was a really tricky one. And kudos to everyone that sort of got involved, and thank you to all of them, because it is a hard conversation to have. It's a really hard conversation to have, and there are no answers, and there isn't an easy fix for any of this. But yeah, it was really interesting. So catch that on Tuesday.
So it'll go up Tuesday.
Oh, cool. Okay, so it's recorded. It's gone into post production. Yeah. Released. Keep an eye out Tuesday. Leaves us to just thank Cryo Malt. Don't know if you've heard of them, Matt. Cryo Malt.
Oh, mate, can't thank them
major
enough.
Sponsors. Seriously, over 25 years in the field.
Enough.
Yep. Yeah. To Relling's Label Stickers and Packaging, and to our good friends at New Zealand Ale Trail. And we should mention too, because I forgot to, that our letter writers, commenters, all that sort of thing, if you haven't already, we'll get a bar blade. Thanks to our good friends at Thirsty Merchants.
And if you've been mentioned on this podcast, make sure you follow us up. With your address, and
we'll don't be shy. Just send us an address so that we can look after you, because we don't want to, you know.
No, I didn't get anything.
Well, and sometimes we forget even when they do send it through. So
yeah, come on, Sam, lift your game, champion. All right, thanks very much, Matt. Thanks very much, Claire.
Thanks, Pete.
Cheers, Pete.
Have a good week. I'm going to have a good week because I can now go 10 kilometers instead of 5 kilometers. Ooh, in my car.
Very nice.
In my mask. And I can have, I think, 10 people instead of 5 people. I can have 50 at my funeral.
Oh.
Instead of 5. Yeah. So, you know, there's,
there'll be dark thought, people hankering,
you know,
for
anything. Silver linings. So until next week, I've been your host, Pete Mitchum. This has been Brews News Week. Thanks very much for joining us, and we'll see you again for the next episode. But until then, drink fresh, drink local, look after yourselves and each other, and wash your damn hands.
And wear a mask.
And wear a mask. And we're out.
Boom.
Feeling that one.
Not good.
Don't forget, if you like what we do here at Radio Brews News, you can help us out in a number of ways. You can sponsor the show either by a small monthly contribution or through a one-off donation. You'll find details in the show notes. You can also review us on iTunes or whatever your favourite podcasting service happens to be. Let us know what you think and help others find and discover our shows. Finally, you can tell us what you think about what's going on in the beer industry by emailing us at producer@brewsnews.com.au. All letters received will receive in return, as by way of thanks, a Brews News bottle opener. We love hearing your thoughts on the stories we cover because, as you may have heard, beer is a conversation.